Father, as we bow down this morning, just mindful of your awesomeness and your wonder and your mercy and your grace and your love for us and your invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Mm-hmm. We thank you that we can come, and Lord, we pray you would quiet us really, and may we push back in a way, or push away the busyness and the cares of the world, and may your will be done this morning, Lord, as we bow before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing the first and last verses of It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Verse 4. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Well, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. We have a wonderful prayer today, an interesting prayer, because it's a little different than those we had in chapter 9. It was all, as you know, coming to Jesus, calling on him, bowing before him, praying with expectancy, and asking him for what we wanted, and giving him praise and thanksgiving for his answer. And today we have a prayer by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 11:25. Follow along as we read these six verses at the end of this chapter. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have a very interesting transition here, it would seem. In these verses right before this, Jesus is rebuking the unbelieving Jews. In verse 20, it said, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Mm-hmm. And he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. In effect, who are exalted to heaven will be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than in the day of judgment than for you. Heavy, heavy. Isn't that a heavy condemnation? And now it looks like Jesus has a little respite here where he, in effect, is saying, even though in the face of this rejection, even so, Lord, I want to praise you. Even so, Lord, I want to thank you. And I see such an application there for us when we look around and see difficult times, when we look around and see disappointment, when we experience those who would turn against us, when we see our, you know, true efforts in trying to do the Lord's will just seems like everything's going against us. May we pause and give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And so Jesus is taking a respite here, it would seem, at that time. He answered. We don't have any question recorded. We don't have somebody saying, or what's the question? It's just we have Jesus answering, right? But look at his answer. He is addressing properly our Father. And he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. You may have seen that phrase in other places in the scripture. We know all the way back in Genesis 14 that when Melchizedek blessed Abram, he said, blessed be Abraham of the God who is the possessor of heaven and earth. Mm. And it would almost seem like here the Lord has a constant, eternal praise and adoration to the Father. And we have the opportunity to phase into this fountain, so to speak, of praising him, giving him adoration whenever we come in. Here we are 2,000 years after Christ, certainly 4,000 years after Abram. But we have that opportunity as well. So we see the right address here, of course. Our Lord addressing the Father, it has to be right, right? I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And here's what he's thanking him for. That you've hidden these things. What things? I believe it's the things of the gospel. You've hidden the things of the gospel from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Well, the question I had is, who are the wise and who are the prudent and who are the babes? And how much of the wise and prudent is in us? How much of the wise and the prudent is in me? How much conceit, how much pride, how much arrogance, how much am I bragging about the things that I've done and all of the wisdom that I have and all of this? This is what the Pharisees were doing. This is what those who rejected Jesus were doing. They were proud in their own eyes. They were wise in their own eyes. They were very critical of everybody who wasn't doing as much as they were doing and so forth. And so how much of that is in you? How much of that is in me? But he's revealed them to the babes. Who are the babes? I think the babes are not little children necessarily. They could be. But I think that they are basically believers or would-be believers at any rate who are docile, who are humble, who are willing to do what the Lord commands, who are not headstrong, who are not stiff-necked, who are not rebellious, but who are submissive, because I see the whole battle in the scriptures really between the proud and the submissive. Is that not it? Because what is sin other than rebelliousness against God? And so the babes are not rebellious in this sense. Now, I'm not saying babes aren't rebellious, because you've all seen babes screaming their head off. But the contrast here is one is wise and prudent, wise in our own eyes, and the other is humble and willing and submissive. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. So he's saying, in effect, even so, with all of the rejection against you, even so it is good in your sight that you are making it known to your remnant. You are giving your message. You're giving the gospel to those who will receive. And in verse 27, he talks about things have been delivered to him by his Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one can come to the Father except by the Son. And you know the Jews at that point were so resistant, and still are today, the Orthodoxy is still resistant. They know God, they know the Father, they say, but they have rejected the Son. And when you cannot come to the Father except by the Son. If you reject the Son, you in effect are rejecting the Father, aren't you? Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So we need to come to the Father through the Son, don't we? Mm-hmm. Now, we see kind of, I think, a pivotal point in Jesus' ministry here. He is now taking a kind of a change in direction from coming to seek the children of Israel to come to teach and to preach to the leaders of Israel. He's making a change now, and he's not going to the wise and the prudent, in effect, anymore. At least that's not the invitation here. But here, what is the invitation? The invitation is to the babes here, and it's really like three different commands here. Come, take, and learn, isn't it? Because in verse 28, he says what? Come. Come to me. That's the invitation to all of us. Come to me. Who? Those who are just doing really well? Well, it says all you who labor and are heavy laden. And notice the promise, I will give you rest. So I see this whole section here really is one of the rest, coming into his rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. So then the command is come, and the command is take. Take my yoke upon you. Now, taking a yoke is obviously meaning, particularly in the agrarian type when that was, would be come into submission to. In other words, you come into a yoke, you're in submission now, and your job is to pull whatever that yoke is attached to. And you know, in the early days of training an ox or a beast of burden, they would put the one to be trained next to the one that was experienced. The ones that were experienced already had the yoke fitted to it, but the one who was in training had a very loose yoke. And all that training was initially was to get the one without even a load to follow along in the footsteps of the one who was pulling the load. And I kind of see that as a kind of a picture here for us, to come alongside our Lord who is going to carry the load. He says what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, I think coming to him and taking the yoke upon, taking his yoke upon yourself is more of a short-term, instant kind of a thing. It can happen when we come to the Lord, right? But I think this learning may be a longer-term thing. I think the learning may be as we go on through life. And so I see the peace with God when we come to him and we take his yoke. We're no longer fighting him. We're his. We have peace with him. But the learning, it seems to me, would be the peace of God. Now as we go through life, as we go through the difficult times, and we have to rely on him because we have no other way out. And we build, don't we? We build. Problem after problem, affliction after affliction, test after test, trial after trial. And we see his faith, or we see him coming through for us, so our faith in him grows, doesn't it? So we're learning from him, and then what is it? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me for what? I am gentle and lowly in heart. Are you learning his gentleness? Are you learning his lowliness in heart? Here is the supreme God, creator of the universe, who has a lowly heart. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he is so awesome. We need to learn that, is what we're saying here. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And then what? You will find rest. You will find rest for your souls. The peace of God, the rest for your souls. Why? Because my yoke is easy. Another word for that would be well-fitting. My yoke is well-fitting. My yoke fits you. My yoke is perfect for you, in other words, well-fitting. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, because he's not going to put all of the weight on you, is he? He's going to carry you, really. So we come to him, we take his yoke of submission to him, and we learn from him, and then we experience that rest, that peace of God. So, in summary, how much of a wise and prudent is in me, and how much of a babe is in me? Or another way of putting it, are you wise and prudent, or are you a babe? In this context, I pray we're babes, and we're not wise and prudent, trying to understand everything in our way, but rather just to trust him. Father, we thank you for this message here in the scriptures this morning and this prayer. And Lord, we just give you praise and honor and Teach us to pray now, Lord. Help us to come to you with a gentle heart, with a lowly heart, and help us to respond to you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us and guide us this morning in directing us to pray. And may we be in one accord as we respond to that leading from you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the rest. Thank you for the peace with you, Lord. Thank you for the peace of you, Lord, as we commit ourselves more and more to you and trust in you, regardless of what we see and regardless of what we feel. We know you know the end from the beginning. We know that you know what is best for us. We think we know, but we find our prayers changing every hour and every day. Our prayer today is different than yesterday. Yesterday I really needed this, Lord, but now today I really need that. And we don't know what we need because we're just responding to the stimulus of the situation. We can't see into the future. But you know the end from the beginning. You know all things, and you love us so much. We can always go to the cross. We can always see that demonstration of your love for us. And so, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you. We honor you. You are indeed the God of heaven and earth, the Lord of heaven and earth forever. And we acknowledge that, and we bow down to you. So lead us now, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.